I hear cars of the Wibautstraat, big street here in the center of Amsterdam. I hear birds in the trees of this big square, the Jonas Daniel Meijerplein. And I also hear a boat here that is passing by here on the Nieuwe Herengracht. And that's where I wanted to bring you today, the Nieuwe Herengracht. One of the canals, one of the famous canals of Amsterdam, one of the latest sections that have been constructed, hence the name Nieuw. And I think the Nieuwe Herengracht, I mean, as are the other canals, is very early and clear example of, let's say, the imposition of a very rigorous water system on existing human, non-human existence and ecologies that existed here before. So imposition of a very rigid kind of system on an existing landscape and still existing today and still very famous, obviously, also for the architecture surrounding it. This is also Nieuwe Herengracht. This specific spot is also the place where the annual canal parade takes place. The most famous moment of the annual gay pride taking place here in Amsterdam. And I think this specific part of it is also a very interesting site that is being contested all the time. Exactly the place where we're standing right now is the place that's being fenced off with like these kind of iron fences and black plastic around it. So the super yachts can like dock here and they have the kind of private kind of viewing position on the gay pride or on the canal parade. And on the other side is the place where the protests take place. So that's where other parts of the queer community like find themselves and protest the presence of like big fossil fuel companies, big banks, let's say, but also the police and the army also participating in the gay pride. So it's also still a site of contestation, so to say. So I think this is a water body that has a lot of stories and histories and forms of contestation around it. So that's why I wanted to bring you here today. My research as part of the Rhine River rehearsal is about both straightening and queering water bodies. So historically a lot of water bodies have been straightened. So a lot of rivers, for example, historically being these kind of meandering, wildly meandering kind of rivers going in all directions, these kind of open fluid floodplains, these wetlands with like very unclear demarcations between land and water, and the water finding its own way in this, let's say, this open open plain. But so a lot of rivers have historically been straightened, a lot of water bodies have been straightened, and also by doing so a lot of ecological damage have been created. So these open ecological places of abundance have been like reduced to these kind of industrial optimized kind of environments that were like optimized for trade and commerce, which was often very bad for non-human ecologies that were there, or even human ecologies. Like a lot of these rivers, it's nowadays impossible to swim there, for example, because like the current has been optimized and it's like so quick it's impossible to swim. So I've been looking at like this kind of straightening and the impact of it, but also at queering. So maybe how can we reimagine these kind of river landscape? How can it be done differently? Can we reimagine these kind of riverine landscapes as something that is more fluid and open, and also allowing different kind of human and non-human ecologies to be connected, to find resonance and to relate to it? And so it's both these kind of straightening and queering that has been very important in my research. What I think is interesting about this place, that there is also this straightening and this queering is happening, right? So it's the historical straightening of the original kind of wetlands surrounding Amsterdam that have been straightened into this like very rigid canal, so to say. But there is also like the queering taking place, like the queer community, like since over the last 20 years, like using this water body as a site for visibility and acceptance and struggle and resistance even. And it also shows that this kind of queering is not something that is kind of a one-off. It's something that needs to happen every year. And even in the act of queering that happens at that time, there is still like a struggle going on. Some people privatizing it for their own kind of pleasure and visibility, and other people like bringing their own ideas in. And these kind of contestations still needs to happen. So the queering as an ongoing process. So that's how this specific place connects to this broader research on straightening and queering of water bodies that maybe you can find in places around the world. maybe I would like to focus on this, yeah, this idea of water as a place for contestation. I also have to think of a collective or a movement I'm involved in. It's called Queers for Climate. It's, let's say, the queer segment of the climate movement, and it's one of the slogans is like there is no pride on a flooded planet, right? So if we don't find more harmonious ways to live in our surroundings with the water that is all around us, in the end, the water will be everywhere. It will be flooding us, and there is no pride to be had, right? So I think the queering is very essential. Queering these kind of water bodies and reimagining them to be able to live more harmoniously in the face of the climate crisis that comes, or that's already here.